I am not ashamed of the good news about salvation through Messiah Yeshua, the Lord Jesus, because this message, this good news, and this message alone unleashes the power of God to bring salvation to everyone who embraces this message, first to the Jewish people and then to the Gentiles. And my friends, our greatest need is not more money or political help or economic help. Our greatest need is messianic help, salvation through the Son of God, the Messiah, Yeshua. Well, this is Rabbi Lauren coming to you live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael with another edition of Jesus Made Me Kosher. And today I want to welcome a couple who are part of Congregation Shema Yisrael, Jay and Sue Miller. They are a lovely Jewish couple and members of Shema. Jay and Sue are real people. And Jay and Sue, welcome to Jesus Made Me Kosher.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Rabbi.
Hi, Sue. Hi, Jay. Well, Sue, let's start with you. Give us your story. How did the living God reveal himself to you that Yeshua is the Messiah? How has Jesus made you kosher?
Well, I'm going to start. I don't know where I should begin, but I lived the first 43 years of my life as a Reformed Jew in the Detroit area, and I grew up in a traditional Jewish home, and we celebrated the traditions and the customs of our ancestors, the Jewish people. We went to temple on special holidays and special occasions. But even though we did all these things, I knew very, very little about my scriptural background and about my faith. It was, like I said, it was just about holidays, it was about traditions and eating a lot of food. But something inside of me was always hungering for something more. And I go back and I look, when I was growing up, I had a very, very special person in my life. And she was a housekeeper in our home. And I think in a very special way, she brought Jesus, Yeshua, into my life. She was always talking about going to church, and I never even went into a church. She never even talked about going into a church, let alone Jesus. But I always had that curiosity that there was something mysterious about it. And at that point in my life, I started to pray. And I always knew that there was that presence of God in my life. But I had another experience again when I was in the sixth grade. And it was around Christmas time. And we lived in a predominantly Jewish area. And you have all the joy of the holidays. But there always seems to be some kind of rift between Christians and Jewish people during that time of the year. You know, almost like a separation. And like I said, I lived in a predominantly Jewish neighborhood, but there was a small area that was close by that had Gentiles or some Christian people. And I was standing in the back of my classroom, and I had a good friend, and she came up to me, and like out of nowhere, she says to me, "You know that the Jews killed Jesus." And I just stood at the back of the room with my mouth open, because I really didn't know what to say. And as I look back now, this was like my first encounter with anti-Semitism or even with persecution. But I went on with my life, and I never really thought about it till years later. So let's fast forward a little bit. I grow up, I go to college, I become a dental hygienist, and I'm working, and I'm living in the secular world, and I'm having a good time, but I'm still yearning, hungering for something that I don't know what it is. So, you know, the next thing I'm thinking, I should get a husband, you know, so where's my husband coming from? So as it turns out, about 2 years later, I met Jay, we got married. Wasn't much longer, you know, we moved into a home, and then we had children. And Jay is also Jewish. You know, we had the question of, what are we going to do with the kids? We were already attending a temple, but we were only really going on the holidays or for an occasional bar or bat mitzvah. And we said, well, we have to send our kids to religious school. So we stayed at the same temple. We started them off in religious school. But we found that it wasn't fulfilling our needs. We were taking them to religious school, and we were actually helping out, which many parents didn't do. They drop off their kids at Sunday school, and they'd say, bye-bye. And I got to the point, and I said, I can't stay here anymore. There's something that's just not right. It was all about money and socialization, and it didn't seem like there was any warmth there. So one day I was reading the newspaper, and I read about a small congregation or a small group called a chavura, and it was meeting down in Canton, Michigan. And I said, let's call these people up and see what they have to offer. And we found out this was a small group of interfaith families that wanted to come together and just celebrate their Jewishness, and eventually it turned into a congregation. But mind you, again, these were interfaith families. This was not a messianic congregation. This was a reform congregation. And both spouses decided they wanted to raise their children Jewish. So we were at that congregation for a while, and I was teaching religious school. And I was learning a little bit of the scriptures, but it was mostly pertaining to the holidays. It was pertaining to the customs. And again, I said, this isn't fulfilling me. I know there's something more. And I just finally said to Jay, we were with the congregation maybe about 7 years, I have to leave this. And something's just not right. And I know now that it was the Holy Spirit nudging at me. So this is about the same time that 9/11 happened. And boy, was that, as much as the planes hit those towers, it was an explosion in my life. And God was speaking to me.
Why is that, Sue?
I can't explain it. But when those towers came down, it's like something came crashing down in my life. And I had to start reevaluating things. I cried for 3 days after 9/11. And I think it was God speaking to me. He was speaking to a lot of people that he wanted them to start listening to them. So, you know, a couple weeks passed, and I enjoy going to the library. And I said, well, I want to get a book. I want to read, you know, just to sit down and relax. So I looked at the new books, and I took out this book. It was called Left Behind. And I said, I've read about this book somewhere, but I think it's Christian fiction, but oh, what the hey, I think I'll read it anyway. I got hooked on the Left Behind books, and I don't know if many of your audience has read the books, but they are about the end times and tribulation. I started questioning my life. I started learning about Jesus through these books. There was a rabbi in there that came to the knowledge that Jesus was the Messiah. And I was working in a dental office at that time. I started talking to somebody in my office, and we started having these discussions about Judaism and Christianity. And I said, I've got to find some place to go to learn about this Jesus, this Yeshua. So I began to search for a new place to worship. And I actually went on the internet, and I found Shema. And I said, you know what, I'm going to go over there. So it was like a Monday or Tuesday. I said to my husband, I'm going to Shabbat services. So he says, okay, fine, go to Shabbat services. He thought I was just going to another synagogue, trying to find myself. So I started attending Sabbath services. I believe in August of 2002, almost a year after 9/11, and I was there for about 4 months, and I was baptized. I just love Yeshua, and I began studying and just learning about the Lord, and it just started to change my life. I know that the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, was working in my heart. And at this time, I'm going to hand the testimony over to my husband.
Well, Sue, not so fast, not so fast.
Okay,
you still
okay.
Let me ask you a few more questions.
Sure, sure.
So you found some sort of spiritual fulfillment and closeness to God in Messianic Judaism that you never found in your other synagogue experiences. Is that correct?
This is true. It's you really can't explain it. It's where you have the warmth in traditional Judaism that comes from holidays and family. You get a different warmth from Messianic Judaism because you're actually sitting down. You're reading the Word. You're reading the Bible. And it's God talking to you. And there's something in every part of the Bible that can answer your questions because man cannot answer your questions.
And we still have the warmth of the holidays and Jewish traditions, too, but we also have that added warmth of really feeling like we're connected to God now and headed to eternal life, and life makes sense, and the Bible makes sense, right?
This is absolutely true.
So, Sue, a lot of people say that Jews can't believe in Jesus and that when a Jewish person believes in Jesus, they're no longer Jewish. Just do you feel more Jewish or less Jewish or the same now that you know that Yeshua is our wonderful Jewish Messiah?
I feel more Jewish than I ever have before because I know so much more about my background. I know about when I would hear about Christianity before, I didn't know that it was based in the roots of the Hebrews, in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that's where the lineage of Jesus was from. I never knew that. I never knew how the Old Testament and the New Testament related. They are one book, and all I ever knew of was the Torah.
Amen. Well, I'm so glad that God has been leading you and directing you and revealing to you that Yeshua is the Messiah and brought you to our congregation. You're a valuable addition to Shema, so thank you very much. Why don't you put Jay on the phone, and I want to talk to him for a little bit.
I am right here.
Jay Miller,
yes,
how
sir.
Has Jesus made you kosher? How did God reveal to you that Jesus is the Messiah?
Okay. As well as Sue has stated, I was born Jewish, raised Reformed Jewish for about a good 45 years. I was the traditional Jewish student, bar mitzvah, Hebrew school, high holidays. And for a while, I got frustrated with it because it was just repetitious, especially in the area that I was. I still respected it, and I always went to it with respect and fervor. But I knew there was more out there. So for a while, I just kind of backed off and just sat in the background for a while and watched what was going on because nothing still changed until I saw a change in my wife, Sue. I saw a change in her personality, in the way she carried herself, and it was all for the good. It was a calming change. There was peace there. And it got to be around the high holidays, and I needed a place to go. And I figured, you know what? If this is what she has been experiencing, I want to go and see what it's all about. So I came to a Shema high holiday service, a Rosh Hashanah service, and I sat in the auditorium, and I got the prayer book, which is called a Machzor, and I heard the worship team, and just the power and enthusiasm just grabbed and tugged at me. So I was really excited about what I was listening to. But as I was reading the Machzor, whenever it came to the name of Jesus or Yeshua, my programming, which is kind of a bad word, wouldn't allow me to say his name verbally. And I'm really ashamed of that now. So I would read up to it and skip over it and just keep on reading. But as I continued coming to Shema and learning with Sue, my life changed for the better. Yeshua got a hold of me. He changed my life, and I'll tell you why. Number one, I've been around some of the most educated and learned men and women, for that matter, over the last 10 years than I've ever been surrounded before. There's always an openness to discuss any topic, and the wisdom is unfounded anywhere else. Now, being Jewish, we don't talk about Jesus. We don't talk about the Bible. We talk about the Torah. Well, I challenge any Jewish person to go past the Torah just for inquiries. What is the Bible all about? I've learned that the entire Bible, New and Old Testament and New Testament, were written by Jewish men, Jewish prophets, Jewish writers. And there is tremendous wisdom, there's tremendous value. And the major thing it did teach me is that you can be born and live your life as a Jew, but you really need to consider to start living your life in Judaism. There is so much more out there that, for me personally, was never available for me to look into. And going to a Messianic congregation, i.e. Shema Yisrael, and studying it online has opened up a whole new world that has changed my life for the better. Not to mention becoming able to really pray like praying is meant to be. Not just going to a temple and reciting prayers and waiting for it to be over and get up and leave. This is a part of you. You take it with you wherever you go, and you also have the ability to change your perspective on people that you meet in the world. You have that peace, and you have the ability to give it to them. And really, that's what I thank the Gentiles for. They're the ones that showed me what it does for their life, and now I find out it's all based in my own religion. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue growing and learning.
That's really great, Jay. Do you feel more or less Jewish now that you are a Messianic Jewish believer?
I'm proud of my heritage. I'm proud of who I am now. And like I said, I challenge any Jewish person to go further and read into it and really see what your heritage is all about. It's complete, and it's evolving, and it's everlasting.
So you're saying that people shouldn't stop with the Torah, the five books of Moses, stop at the end of Deuteronomy. They should read the other parts of the Tanakh, the Old Testament, the law, the prophets. And Jay, there's so much about the Messiah in the Jewish prophets, like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah. Isn't it sad that our Jewish people aren't really encouraged to read our Jewish Bible?
Not only is it sad, it's dysfunctional. All of this information to any person who can read, or even if you can't read, there's people out there that will help you. It will change your life for the better. You don't give up any of your identity. You don't give up your religion. You just become better, more educated, and a more peaceful person. You have patience to learn, and the information is valuable. And it's relevant to what's happening in the world today. Now, I'm coming across, and this is, I really don't want to go into this subject, but end-of-life services I have to deal with a lot. These people are coming to the end of their life not knowing the Jewish Messiah. And all of their life, they've learned that there is a Messiah out there, but they've never been taught how to study him. Well, he's there right in front of you. All you have to do is open the book and look.
That's great, Jay. Hey, Passover is coming up. Do you and Sue still celebrate Passover as Messianic Jews?
Yes, we do. And we have two services. The first service we usually have with my family, but they are yet to be believers. And we never really, years and years ago when I was a child, we used to have a service at my mother's parents' house, my grandparents', and it would be a long, drawn-out service, and it was all in Hebrew, and we never understood it. So as a kid, I actually did not like Passover. All I thought it was the holiday that you couldn't eat bread. It was never explained to me. And then I came to my first Passover at Shema, and I learned the symbolism that was in the Passover. I always understood about the Jews coming out of Egypt, but I never really looked at the things like the matzah that is pierced, and how our Lord was pierced for our transgressions, for, you know, how his blood was poured out. You take the cups of wine, just so many different symbols, and how so many things just relate. They go back and forth. It's just so beautiful now that I can't wait till Passover comes every year.
I feel the same way. And
it is.
Yeah, go ahead.
But I don't feel that when I have it with my family, and I feel sad for them because this is one of the main things we feel for our Jewish families is that we pray every day for their salvation. And we know that someday that their eyes will be open, but it makes it very, very difficult. But we still love them nonetheless, and we pray for them, and that they will see what the Passover truly means. That it is
Sue, our congregation is having two Passover Seders that we're opening up to the larger community April 6th and April 7th. Do you think it would be a good thing for a Gentile Christian to celebrate a Messianic Jewish Passover Seder?
I would totally encourage it because
Why?
They will learn so much. It's not just about coming out of Egypt. It's about their salvation, the truth about their salvation that they'll learn through the Passover.
And the greater Passover lamb, the Messiah who died on Passover to take away the sins of the whole world, and those great connections.
Yes, definitely.
And I just want to let the Faith Talk 1500 audience know that you can get more information about our Passover Seders, which we need to get reservations in by April 1st. That's Sunday, maybe Monday morning at the very latest, and you can do so by going to the Shema website at shema.com, S-H-E-M-A.com. You can even register by using the donate button and putting a special note in the memo area that you want to attend one of the Passover Seders and giving that night. So go to the Shema website, shema.com. At the bottom of the homepage, there's information about how to join us for the Passover Seders. And you can also call Jennifer, who's got our phone, the ministry phone, 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. Jay, Sue, I really want to thank you for being my guests today on Jesus Made Me Kosher. You were really great.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you. Shalom to all.
Thank you. Well, my friends, again, this is Rabbi Lauren Jacobs. I'm the senior rabbi of Congregation Shema Yisrael. And you heard Jay and Sue with us today. They are real Jewish people, both from the Metro Detroit area. They came to know that Yeshua, Jesus, is the Jewish Messiah and the Savior of the world. They are actively involved in our community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles. And in coming to know Jesus, their whole Jewish identity really started to make sense and come alive. They got into the Bible. They feel close to God. They have a peace and a joy that they never had before. And it is my hope and prayer that more and more Jewish people here in Metro Detroit and beyond, and more of the peoples of the world will experience that messianic joy, that peace, that shalom that could only come from knowing the three-in-one God of Israel. This is Rabbi Lauren wishing you shalom, shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.